Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
It has been a while since we have done one of these shows on the podcast for From the Cart Path. Again, everyone, this is Trent Roberts. I have the intern for From the Cart Path, Elijah Lemon, with me on here tonight. And Elijah and I are going to have about 20 to 25, 30-minute conversation just to kind of get to know Elijah and kind of go from there so you all can get to meet him. And then he will be on our upcoming shows, sitting with me and getting to ask questions to our guests as well. So Elijah, kind of tell me what you've been up to these last two, three, 4 weeks.
Yeah, past two, three, 4 weeks, just kind of getting, settling into the off season, I would say, of golf. I finished up with my last tournament mid-November down at Vanderbilt. So right now, between now and mid to early March, whenever I start up playing again, it's just kind of a time to look at my game, kind of reset, assess what my needs are, what I'm going to need to be, what I need to do differently, what I need to be doing the same in my game to be able to come out in the spring and be successful. Right now with my coach, we're looking at a lot of the stuff in my bag. That's kind of like, what do we need to change? Like any new clubs? I just had a putter fitting yesterday. So I have a new putter coming in that I'm really excited about. Hopefully I can make a few more putts with that.
What'd you get?
It's a Scotty Phantom 9. It's kind of like the Justin Thomas putter, but it's a little bit different on the top. And basically, like the techniques or the, I don't even know what you want to call it, but like the mechanics of the putter. And like I was using the Scotty Newport 2 before that. I've had since I was probably 7 or 8 years old. But just for me, when I set up over the ball, I just comfortably hold my hands at like a lower address position. So like the blade putter wasn't like the best for me just because of the angle it, or the lie angle that it sits on the ground with. So, and getting a mallet, moving the weight a little bit farther back in the head and adjusting the lie angle, just kind of numbers look good. And I just felt really comfortable rolling it. So I'm excited to get it in my hands and maybe get it on the course here soon if the weather obliges.
Who'd you do your fitting with?
It was at Club Champion over close to Keystone. It was a really nice guy. The fitter's name was Grayson. He was awesome with me, and he gave me a lot of options. He wasn't pressing with me about anything. He was a really good fitter.
That's a great experience always. I can't even imagine back in my day, Elijah, we didn't have fittings. It was, you went to the shelf, you said, oh, I like that putter. You put it in your bag. There was no moving around or anything. Sure. It was different back then. And I think one of the funniest thing was we used to buy, you ever played tennis?
Yeah.
You know, like the wrap you put on your racket put like a new grip on it. Well, all of us would put that wrap on our putter.
Okay.
Which for whatever reason, I don't know. We did it. It was dumb. And I still miss putts.
Sure.
So it's
reality, right?
If we could have got fit for the day back in the day for a putter, I always tell everybody I probably would have shot 8 shots lower around, but
yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. Hole was smaller back then too. Yeah. So new putter in the bag. Mm-hmm. I know you said you just got back from vacation. Where'd you go again?
Yeah, me and my family were in Orlando. We went to Universal a little bit to see one of my little sisters is a big Harry Potter fan. So going to Harry Potter World was a big bucket list thing for her. And we went to Disney for a couple of days, enjoyed really good weather. Honestly, it was like, got up to the 70s. It was getting a little bit hot. Some of the days down there is a big culture shock when we got back home and felt the icy breeze of 25 degree Indiana.
It probably makes you want to start looking at schools down in Florida.
It sure
after
does.
That trip.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said that didn't cross my mind while I was down there.
Right. So what was your favorite ride?
Man, at Universal, it's like the Velocicoaster in Jurassic World. And it was amazing. I'd never been on a roller coaster. Like it was like upside down, like over water, like sideways. It was crazy.
How many times did Winnie go, was it Winnie is the one that's a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah.
How many times did Winnie go on the Harry Potter rides?
Well, it was a ton. So we went as a family, like the first place we went as a family when we got there was we went to Harry Potter World. And then like our gradual progression was kind of like to move away from there. And then like as we got into the afternoon, like me and my sisters rode some of the rides elsewhere. But my mom went back with Winnie so she could go back to Harry Potter world again and ride. I think it was like Hagrid's ride, like the motorbike ride that she rode. Yeah. She rode a couple more times.
That's a good one. That's a fun ride. Hagrid's ride is a good time. So, no, good. I'm glad you got to go down there. And then I know you said you're working on your game going into the season. What are some of the big areas you're looking at working on? What are you currently working on?
A lot of the stuff right now is not super mechanical. I think me and my coach have gotten to a really good point with my swing. Like I feel really confident with where I'm at mechanically right now. Honestly, it's a lot of just looking at my bag and my clubs and like how they fit together with like yardages, launch angles and stuff, and kind of like the certain shots that I need throughout a round. So right now we're kind of looking at, I play Mizuno Pro irons, pitching wedge through four iron, and they're like really blady irons. And once I get to the four, I mean, I'd say I strike the ball pretty decent, but like once I get to the four iron, it just gets really hard to get enough distance out of that, out of like the unforgiving face. So right now we're looking at kind of like a utility iron or a hybrid or something that I can get to kind of like fill the gap between like a four iron. And then I go four iron, five wood. So my four iron goes 15-ish carry on a normal day, and my five wood's like 245, 250-ish. So we're looking at like kind of like a utility iron that got a little bit more technology in the face. It's a little bit easier to launch. And I could kind of use for that 225, 230-ish distance.
Now, you mentioned your swing coach a couple times. Who is that?
It's John Hoover.
You're with Hoover? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, great coach. I started working with him last year, or 2024 now, I guess, like late summer. And like immediately, I saw the best results. I went through a big swing change right away with him. And it's done wonders for my game. And just like everything he tells me, it's just nothing like crazy. It's just a lot of like simple stuff about the swing that just makes sense. So he and I have worked really well together, and my game has gotten a lot better ever since I've been working with him.
How often do you see him?
About once every week or two, pretty much. Right now, I see him more right now since it's the off season. There's a lot more moving parts than I would like in the summer when I'm playing tournaments. Now is just the time to, if there's changes to be made, and like now is the time to make them, just because I don't have anything competitive for a couple months now.
No, it's more time to work on it and not have to stress out about, you got a tournament in 3 weeks, why am I implementing this new?
Yeah.
Which happens. Sometimes you have to do it anyway.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
So what do you think your strength is of your game?
Right now, I would say my strength, if I had to pick a specific part of my game, I would probably say probably my iron play. I think that's something that's gotten a lot better ever since I've been working with John. I'd say, if we go back many years to when I was like a young junior player, maybe like 8 to 10 years old, I'd say my short game is pretty much what carried me through a lot of events. But I think working with John, getting some really good instruction from him, has kind of moved my ball striking in a positive direction. I wouldn't say my short game's gotten like bad over the years, but I just think my ball striking has moved up and to the level where to the level where my short game is. I'd say my ball striking is just as equal, if not better, than my short game.
Now, where do you spend most of your time when you're doing practice rounds on your own?
Like practicing by myself?
Yeah.
I'm actually very fortunate. I'm actually in my simulator in my house right now. Okay. So I actually spend most of the time, especially right now when you can't really get outside, hitting on my TrackMan. And it's a fantastic tool. I'm very grateful for the ability to be able to use it.
Now, when it hits spring season, where do you play at most of the time?
Yeah, so my school team, I'll spend most of my time out at Ironwood, since that's where my high school, Mount Vernon, practices at. And then I'm a member at Prairie View, so I'll get out there on the weekends and play a good 18, which is great because state championship is out there. So I guess if I make it, I haven't quite made it there yet. But
We're going to make sure that happens this year. Yeah. If I got to be on the fairway, being like the guy from Happy Gilmore, I'll do that for you, Elijah, to help you get there.
That's awesome. I'd appreciate that. But no, if I was to get there, then I'd play the state championship.
You know, my only suggestion for you is don't pull out the punch, cut, fade.
Sure.
You know, when we get into the school season.
Yeah,
To test that one out, right?
That's some good advice, yeah.
So, then, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, when I, if I'm just going to go, like, practice short game and stuff like that, I'll head out to Prairie View, which is only, like, 20, 25 minutes from my house. Just, they got a great short game facility out there, and I just really like spending an hour or two out there just down in my short game.
Well, in fact, if you got the two putting greens, you can lock yourself down at one of them, and you won't get bothered too much. I've seen Sophie do that now and then, where she's out there on a regular basis doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't have a trackman like you do, but it's this time of the year, it's hard.
It is very hard.
Well, the crazy thing is she was one of those, when Great Eagle knocked everything down, was one of the ones that's upset because she liked to go out there just to see her ball flight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if anything you want to do is you can hit in the wall so long, but not really know. The trackman's accurate, but you still want to see that ball flight.
For sure. And for stuff like alignment too. Like I usually find during the season when the weather's good, I don't spend a ton of time on the sim just because like alignment patterns and like ball flight and turf interaction, just they're just not the same if you're hitting off a mat versus if you can get outside and watch the ball fly through the air.
Perfect. What are some of your favorite tournaments as a junior you've played in?
Oh, man. Favorite tournaments. I used to love when I was younger, US Kids Worlds was always just the best time of year.
Well, Pinehurst is awesome to begin with.
So awesome. There's just like something in the air when you like get down there and smell the pine trees. And it'd be all my friends from Indiana would come down there and play it as well. And, you know, I'd go out and play a tournament and like a couple of years I played good, some years I didn't, but like, you know, after tournament rounds, we'd go play the cradle with my buddies from back home. And it was just always such a good time.
Speaking of the cradle, I'm going to interrupt you there real quick. Speaking of the cradle, do you ever look at the records?
Every time I tee it up, yeah.
Now, the fastest round played.
It's
6 minutes and 42 seconds now. Crazy. Somebody got it.
Yeah.
How?
I have no idea.
I've been trying to figure that out. They had somebody ran it, and it took them like 3.5-4 minutes just to run it. So it's how do you hit a ball the same time. So I like to point that record out to everybody because I'm like, that's probably the most impressive record. And I did find out there's a story there. We were at the Titleist Performance Center and the guy was telling us there's a guy there that plays that course twice a day, plays the cradle two times a day, is retired. And they love him because he comes in and buys wedges every 2 months because obviously if you're hitting that many shots at the cradle, you need to update your wedges constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy has 22 hole-in-ones at the cradle.
Jeez,
that's so like crazy. That's the record on that one. Crazy. That's the thing. I wish there was a spot in Indiana near us that had a short course like the cradle.
It's just such a great vibe, yeah.
Yeah, with the music playing, the restaurant, like not the restaurant, but the little snack stand with drinks, and this time of year they had coffee and hot chocolate back there.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like you said, the vibe. I think when we were there, people were sitting by the fire pit. People were hitting shots and they were cheering everybody on. Yeah, the environment of the cradle would be awesome if there was some land around here. And it's too bad Great Eagle sold that land off to the right because that would have been a perfect spot for something like the cradle.
Yeah.
They could have made a ton of money off just doing that.
Awesome.
So, but kind of going back, those were some of your favorite tournaments. Now, when we get into high school season, let's talk a little bit about that. What is it about high school golf in Indiana that gets you excited?
Man, it's just the camaraderie and like the people that you can share these experiences with. Like summer golf is fun, like, but the reality of it is when I tee it up, you know, in an Indiana junior golf event or a golf week, like I'm just playing for me, like I'm playing for my score. But on Saturdays in March and April and May, like you're teeing it up and you're playing, but like you're also representing your team, you're representing your school. I mean, there's just something about that playing for a little bit more than yourself. That's just so special. And then, you know, like bus rides after events, you know, we always go to Chipotle after our tournaments. It's just like, you know, the stuff that happens, like you just make memories that way. And it's just the best like that. Yeah. High school golf.
Your grandfather's your coach, correct?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, he is.
What's that like?
It's awesome. It's like, he was my coach from the age, he's the one that introduced me to golf before I could even walk. I would just go to the course just to be with him. And then he was the person who taught me how to play. He was my caddy in all my junior events, took me to all my tournaments. So just having that kind of almost like a safety source with him, like I know I can talk to him about anything golf or non-golf related at any time, just having him there as my coach and having him, you know, he has the ability to walk the course with me, but give me advice, and just having that there is just, it's a great source of comfort for me while I'm playing school golf.
That's a neat experience for anybody when you have a family member there doing, especially at your grandfather, because I know it as being a parent with a kid that golfs is we think we know everything and we don't know anything. And so we've learned to set back, just walk and go, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's the best advice that we can try to do as a parent is just we're better from the cart path than we are yelling from the fairway and what you need to hit, because we don't know what you need to be hitting at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get into, you reached out when I asked for people to volunteer to do this, and I was pretty excited. You came to me as I was worried some other kids might or might not, but I was pretty excited. I had you and a couple others. I was excited about you coming on here doing this with me. What is it about like podcasts and this type of atmosphere that you like?
Yeah, I think the first thing would be that I've always been interested in sort of like media and production type of things. I've taken classes at my high school. Probably my favorite classes I've taken in high school were broadcasting. And then the second class in the pipeline is audio and video design. And it's just really fun to kind of use your creative freedoms to express that. It's fun to be on a podcast like this and talk and share your opinions. But then also, I think that I've played competitive golf since I was 7 years old right now, and I'm close to turning 17. So I do have a lot of like experience and a good amount of knowledge about junior golf and competitive golf as a whole. So if I could share that and help out someone who was younger watching this and help them have a better experience with their junior golf career as well, that would make my world. That'd be awesome.
Now, from the area, and I want you to think about it this way, because who are some people that you would want to reach out to in the Indiana market that you might want to get on here to interview yourself?
Sure. Oh man. I could say some of my buddies. You know, I think Mattingly Upchurch would.
Mattingly never says no to anything.
Yeah, sure. I think Mac Myers, one of the best players in Indiana right now, I think he'd probably like to do something like this, guys like him. And then if we were to get, you know, older guys, like people who run golf tours, like heads of Indiana Junior Golf, Golf Week, stuff like that, I think it'd be cool to talk to them about how they structure tournaments or run tournaments, stuff like that. I think that'd be cool too.
Absolutely. I think that's something we could have you reach out to them as mm-hmm. well and say, hey, you're doing this, and kind of go that direction. I think Mac would be awesome.
Yeah.
I remember last year when I did the preseason stuff, and a lot of the players came to me and were like, Mac's going to be one of the top five players in the state. And I went ahead and made the decision of making him basically the freshman of the year before the season even started. And the flack that I took for that, and here we are, who's, like you said, he's one of the best players in the state.
Hindsight, that's a pretty good decision, yeah.
Yeah, and well, I think we all saw it coming. I think if you go look at what he's doing and how hard he works at it, I mean, there's a lot of you that work hard. Mm-hmm. There's like, if I could go look at like the top 40 players in the state versus everybody else, like, you know, in each class, the top 5 or 10 players in each class, there's this work ethic that's up here.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the work ethic that's kind of there. And then there's everybody else, right? But I think it's just, this is a game that you can tell who puts in the work, who works hard and who doesn't.
I'd agree.
And Mac works hard. I saw your guys' video at Purgatory.
Yeah.
Which cracked me up because the weather was, because what was the wind going that day?
Oh, that day, that was funny because I was on fall break and I got a text from, I couldn't remember if it was Mac or Ryan Caesar that texted me, but they were like, hey, you want to go play Purgatory? And I was like, yeah, like I've been on fall break without my clubs for a week. I would love to, you know, get back. And I think that was the weekend before the Yesingsmeyer too. So I was looking to get back and just get a club in my hand. So I was like, heck yeah, I'd love to come out to Purg and play.
So we didn't get you to interview Daddy Caddy on here?
Oh, yeah. But then I didn't really think much about the weather just because I was like, yeah, like I'm going to go play golf in October. This is going to be great. Then we get out there and like wind was blowing 30, rain was coming down. It wasn't I think we ended up playing like, I think we played like 11 or 12 holes. We played the front nine and then we went 10, 17, 18 at Purgatory. So I think
don't blame you.
We got 12 holes in. But yeah, that was a fun day. I had a lot of fun there.
Those are probably my favorite moments as a kid, even is like,
sure.
Like that day right there. You three will remember that day more than you will a lot of the tournaments you played in
mm-hmm.
because of the conditions.
Yeah.
You know, I tell the story. I got a good friend who lives here in the area. He wasn't on the team yet, but there's some other guys on the team in high school at Kokomo where I went to. We had an ice storm, and we were playing golf when that ice storm started.
Jeez.
And we were just getting pelted by these things. We're like, we're going to try to finish the 9 holes. By the time we hit the 4th hole, we're at the furthest point away, this course called American Legion of Kokomo, and we're like running as hard as you can to get back because it was just awful, and you're sliding everywhere, and you get your spikes on it.
Mm-hmm.
The idiots of us had shorts on at the same time. So those are the moments you remember.
For sure.
More so than you do, how did I do that tournament here? But let me tell you about this story of like when the three of us hit a par three that was 180 yards and we had a 30-mile-per-hour wind in our face and what we were mm-hmm. doing. Oh, those seemed to be more fun. How For often sure. do you get to play with guys like Mac and Caesar?
I would say that when it's not super, like obviously high school golf, we're kind of all at separate schools. Even during the school season, usually Sundays are a good day that I can text my buddies from other schools and be like, hey, you want to, want to go out to Prairie View, want to get out to Perg, let's just play a fun round. So that's usually a couple times throughout the high school season, I'll get together with my buddies, play around like that. But I'd say every couple weeks, we just try to, you know, get out and get something going. It's just fun to, when you're not playing in a high stakes tournament, when you're not playing for something school related, it's just fun to get out and just have fun together on the course. Yeah, I think it's important, like as we play, like it's easy to take it real serious when you're going out and playing for, you know, trying to get college offers, stuff like that, trying to up your ranking better. But it's important at the end of the day to remember that like we play golf for fun, and that's the fact of the matter. And when you play with your friends like that, it's easy to have a lot of fun. So I think it's important to get those rounds every once in a while.
Who was your partner at the Estemeyer?
Luke Lehman from Cathedral. I had a ton of fun with Luke. He played awesome too.
Yeah. What is it about that event that you guys love?
That's super cool. Really similar to school golf, that you're representing something bigger than yourself. We're all representing Indianapolis, but to be able to share that with another partner, both days you're playing with your partner. The first day, it's two matches of 2v2, and then the second day, it's singles, but you're still playing with the other person. Just having that person beside you like throughout the tournament is just so much fun. I remember even on the second day when we're not playing together, just little things that me and Luke were saying, just like hype each other up. We both kind of had like comebacks going at the same time. So we just both kind of had that momentum going, which was really fun. So that event is definitely one of my favorites for sure. It's just a lot of fun to share that with other people.
Yeah. So we were kind of watching. Obviously, I had Shane reached out to me. He said it was going to be down there. I'm like, well, can you just do some videos?
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you, he likes to call himself Daddy Caddy 34 now.
Yeah.
And Shane was, I think he was in seventh heaven. He thought he was like this big time guy walking around getting all the interviews from all you kids. But I think when you have something like that, what it adds to an event like that is if you have someone doing interviews, talking to players, doing this type of stuff, it hypes up the event even more.
For sure.
And it's got us thinking about what else can we be doing like that over the summer or preseason. I know on the girls' side, I'm working with Kentucky right now. We're doing a warm-up tournament in February. And if my schedule was there, I wanted to have something in Southern Indiana like late February, early March. Because I think it's the same thing is you all need to have something where you can go do for fun.
Definitely.
But it's kind of competitive, but not competitive to get ready for the year.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think that's the hard part is I see all you kids. You practice all winter long, and then all of a sudden there's a golf week event in the middle of March, and none of you have even played a practice round for fun at this point. And now you're playing competitive golf. We got to find some things in there for you kids, you guys and the girls to have more fun
for
with
sure.
events like that that
yeah.
aren't so serious that you guys can enjoy it. And I think the Estemeyer Cup, I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's life.
I think you're saying it fine.
If I'm not, I'm sure I'll get four people sending me a note to correct me. You'd be shocked how many times people will send me a note that I didn't do this right or do that wrong. And I'm like, I do this for fun. I don't make a nickel off this. If anything, I spend nickels.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. And I've loved giving all you kids more publicity to get your names out there than anything. So
it's awesome.
With all that being said, real quick, now that you're driving, how frequently does mom and dad make you take your sister somewhere?
Man, to be honest, it's not that much. I think it's just because like we all have like a lot going on. Like today, for example, I have three sisters, Resi and Nellie, who are the two oldest, both had lessons today with John Hoover. And that's it's at the Golf Nest in Zionsville over on Michigan Road. So I was home with Winnie. Actually, me and who's my youngest sister, Winnie. We just went to Chipotle, got lunch today. But during the season, I'll just like, if I'm going to practice, I'll be like, hey, I'll just, Resi, you want to come to Purgatory with me? And sometimes she'll say yes, sometimes she'll say no, but all of us are pretty busy with golf. But if I'm going to practice somewhere and I'll always make sure that my sisters have the opportunity to practice too at the same time if they need to.
Now, I'm going to put this one out there. This is going to cause some controversy at home. Obviously, Winnie's still got some time to go.
Mm-hmm.
In 15 years, who was the best lemon player in the house?
Man, that is a tough one. I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't thought about that before. I'd say right now, Resty's probably the best. Physically, she's very athletic. She's very physically gifted. But I think what she's kind of been doing over the past year or so is kind of putting in the work off the course. Part of that's working with John. Part of that's hitting on TrackMan. But as she's started putting in more work, I think she's seen her results grow exponentially on the course. She's had great results. Nelly's a good player.
She's pretty long for her age, too.
Nelly is really athletically gifted as well, and she's also benefited from working with John. Her swing is getting much more mechanically sound. I think Nelly definitely has a lot of potential. And then I would say Winnie. I had to pick someone. I think 15 years, it's going to be Winnie, just because, like, just the experience of having three junior golfers or siblings older than her that my parents have gone through it with me. Like, for I see Winnie's 8, and I see the things that my parents do with her, just because they know
it's
from me, Resty, and Nelly, that, like, it's just like experience is so invaluable to Winnie. And I think that Winnie will be the best. Her swing it's probably mechanically better than mine, honestly, more on plane, and she's 8 years old. So I think 15 years, I think it's probably more than likely gonna be Winnie. But
I would say with you as a parent is we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into this, you don't know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a golfer, you think you know enough, but you don't. Because how many times have you seen where a younger player's got a parent out there and they're trying to,
yep,
know you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And it's like, back off, let them have fun.
Let them be, yeah.
Yeah, go get a teacher for them. Let the teacher show them and let them enjoy themselves. Because I think the best thing you can do as a parent in this game, let them enjoy themselves and let them,
exactly,
have fun with it. Because if you get too involved with it, then we've seen many parents out there, Elijah, that were like, wow, I feel bad for that kid. But no, I get it. It's tough. And I think it's even tougher for us when we're watching you, when you're not, yeah, having the round that you want, or the quick mental mistake that cost you a shot or two, that for some reason you just lost mental focus there for a second. Because when you look back at rounds, you know when those were. So don't want to take this too much longer, because I know I told you everybody we do this 25 to 30 minutes. We're right at that mark. What else? You have any questions for me, or do you want to just kind of keep that going later on? Or what else? Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered anything. I don't have anything else to add. I think that was a pretty good conversation.
I do too. I enjoyed it. Obviously, that's how I want these to be. It's kind of back and forth. So, Elijah, thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Card Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.